Okay. Get my notepad out. Exodus chapter 22. I want to look at 29 and 30 a little bit. So many of these things, as we look at them, I think we looked at this a little bit, but let's go ahead and read them, and then we'll move into 23.
You shall not delay to offer the first of your ripe produce, your juices. The firstborn of your sons you shall give to me. Likewise you shall do with your oxen and your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days. On the eighth day you shall give it to me.
Okay. A couple things about this. It says, don't delay the offer of the first of thy ripe fruits. Now, the first fruits, they were considered the best in a lot of ways. And a lot of times, what do we want to give away?
The last.
Stuff that's not so good. And we talked about this. We may have talked about it a little bit last week, and it may have been in previous verses. One of the things you'll see, many things that are kind of repeated in different ways throughout the Bible. I think it's a good reminder. I think we need to be careful to make sure that we give of the first and the best to God. Okay? How many would take a gift of our cast-offs to the President of the United States? Whether we like him or not, we're not going to do that. You know? We would feel a fool. But then we offer sometimes the cast-offs to God. Anyway, I think we need to be careful of that. There's a word in the King James that is translated differently in the New King James there. And it says, and with, and of thy liquors. What's that mean in the English language?
It means alcohol.
It means alcohol. What do you think that means in the Hebrew language? What do you think that word meant for then?
The juice off of their fruits.
It's the juice off the fruits. Look, sometimes we got to go back to the Hebrew, the Greek. God condemns this stuff, the alcohol, in Proverbs. Okay? He said, look, don't even look at it while it sparkles in the cup, because it's going to bite you like an adder. Okay? He said, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging or a brawler. He said, the substance is the problem. Don't even look at it. Be careful of the words sometimes that you see. A translation is a text that has been translated from one language to another language. Okay? And so, don't just jump on a word because you see it in a translation. Now, back when this was translated in 1611 and then updated in 1768, it meant just juice, okay? And the fruit juice and those type of things. Now, in the 21st century, it's alcohol, all right? Now, it would still possibly have that definition in the English language, but that's not what this is talking about, okay? And so, but at any rate, we need to recognize that, watch the wording. Go back into the original language. It's just as simple as a cell phone nowadays. It's so easy to look at the definitions of the Hebrew and the Greek and the Chaldean words. And so, it's easy to find out what that definition was. What did God put in there? All right? Because God's the one that gave us the Hebrew and the Greek text. And that's what we need to be listening to. Now, a translation is a good thing. How many of you can read the Hebrew language? So if the text, if the Bible was, the Old Testament was just applied in the Hebrew language, what would we do?
Close the book.
We'd close the book because we'd be done. Okay? Anybody read Koine Greek? Okay. All right. So if the New Testament was only in Koine Greek and we opened it up, what would we do?
Close it again.
We'd close it. Okay? And so it had to be translated. Now, that puts some weight and some responsibility on the translators. All right? We've got to be very careful. There's an immense amount of translations out there. Some of them are pure trash. A lot of them, they've got a slant they would have put in it. And so they're not worried about what the Greek and the Hebrew said. They slanted it to what they wanted. And so that's not that hard to decipher out and figure out. But do we really want to know what God says, or do we want to slant on it? Okay. Mary bought got it off the internet, and a brand new translation that was out. And so I went to the preface of the translation. She brought it to me, and it said that we have taken meticulous care to translate this translation from the original languages as long as it meets with the modern thinking.
So we can twist it
then. There you go. And so if the modern thinking, 666, the whore, thinks something different, guess what that translation said? Said something different. And so watch your translation. You have to watch even the King James. You got to watch. And I still use the King James. I try to know the places where it's a problem, because it is. It's got issues in it. And if you use a translation, you need to find one you don't have to work so hard at. But you need to find one and know it when you use it. It's not that big of a deal if you get a good translation to begin with. And so keep that in mind. So anyway, just a couple things to watch out for as you're studying your Bible. Okay, chapter 23, verse 1. Now, here again, guys, we go through periods of time where I talk more and you talk less. I don't want to stifle the comments and the questions and even rabbits. They're all valid. And so just keep that in mind. I know it's easy for me to get talking, and I have plenty to say a lot of times when you're on my subject. Okay, if you and me are in a conversation and you're not interested in the Bible or airplanes or fishing, I probably got nothing to say. You're gonna have to do all the talking. But you get me on the Bible, and that's my subject. Okay, I can talk the Bible, because I love the Bible. So, but watch out and don't allow me to monopolize. Chapter 23, verse 1.
Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness.
Okay, so what's that talking about?
A false report.
Yeah, what's that?
Tell lies about other people.
Tell lies about other people. Okay. One of the things that the Bible spends a lot of time on is don't pervert justice. You know, don't be a lying character witness for somebody that's a friend or that's got money, and then put down somebody or lie about somebody that doesn't fit into your socioeconomic status. All right? Isn't that kind of what happened? Well, you follow through into Isaiah where God is bringing the nation down. He said, you perverted justice. No false reports, guys. Tell the truth, okay? Even if it may hurt sometimes. But don't raise a false report. And don't put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. God kind of covered it all, didn't he? Yeah, verse 2.
Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline, after many to rest judgment.
Okay, what does rest mean?
Defeat?
No.
Bring about.
No? John?
Is it resting like taking out of someone's grasp?
That could be related, and that's not it either.
Stopping and starting back up?
No.
Well, tell us what you're looking for.
Twist. Twist.
Explain, please.
In other words, you take something that's kind of, it's used in the New Testament of the Scriptures. It says don't rest them. In other words, don't twist them from what they mean to what you want them to mean. All right? And a lot of times that's a popular thing to do with the Scriptures. You know, we got our own thinking and way we want to do things, and we got our own ways, you know. And so we come across the Scripture and it kind of says, maybe I'm wrong. And so what we do is we rest it. We twist it around. And see, and that's what the Jews did with the honoring father and mother, you know. Man, I was so mad at my parents, and the last thing I was going to do was take care of them. And so they said, well, okay, well, let's get together. Maybe we'll, do you read the new article? I just read it. I knew it was coming because I had already had it in my mind. All right. They just passed the what? Congress. What's the big thing in the news?
Tax
law. Okay. And so now what is the big push?
Pay your taxes
early. No. Everybody wants to get around it. And so the lawyers are working on ways to get around the new tax law. So they're finding all kind of new loopholes that the government puts into the law, so they got to find where those loopholes are. Okay? And so that's exactly what was happening with honoring your father and mother. Okay? And so they come together and they put their heads together. And honestly, I don't think that they really sit down and plan to do this. I think it evolves. Okay? It's an evolution of ideas and things that take place. It happens in churches. It happens in groups of people, whether it's the Boy Scouts. Look where the Boy Scouts have gone, okay? And the Girl Scouts. Does anybody really want to be involved in the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts anymore? I don't think so, you know? So they've gotten so twisted, out of judgment. When I was a kid, you know, about 50 years ago, it was a totally different ballgame. And so, but at any rate, so they get together and over a period of time, they say, well, you're my good old buddy here, and you don't want to take care of your parents. Now, the law says you got to take care of your parents, and if you don't take care of your parents, you are no count, no good for nothing, and we're gonna punish you in some way, because you're supposed to take care of your parents when they're old. Tim says, no count, no good for nothing. I'm sick and tired of them. I don't want anything to do with them. They don't look at things my way, right? They like Tim. Protect Tim. He's a buddy. You know he's in with the in crowd. Is that, tell you what, Tim? You figure out how much it would cost you, how much you're going to spend to take care of your parents, and you pledge it to God. Now, that's a good thing, pledging money to God, right? That's a wonderful thing. So you pledge that to God, and since it's pledged money, you can't use pledged money to take care of your parents. So you're free. They rested. They twisted the Scriptures. They put a couple passages together that didn't relate to disannul one passage. So when the Bible speaks, guys, the Bible speaks. It has spoken. And if you say anything different, you've rested that Scripture. All right. And so the same thing can happen in judgment. You know, we are not to rest or to twist judgment. Look, truth is truth. And you ain't gonna change the truth because the time's passed. It's just the way it works. And so keep that in mind.
Before you move on.
Yes, sir.
You got a whole sermon in that first part.
Let's go. Bring it on.
Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Today's language, just because so and so and just because everyone
else everybody's doing it.
Does that mean you do it?
Right. Well, yeah.
You know, we say that.
If they jump off a bridge, we do.
Yeah, if they jump off a bridge, you know, whatever they do. If they take drugs, what do? Well, you take drugs too, you know. If they're having sex before marriage, what do? Well, you have sex before marriage. You know, everybody's doing it.
And if you don't, you don't fit in with the in crowd.
Yeah, you can't be on the in crowd. Look, don't follow the multitude.
That's what it's saying.
You mean, what was it? Somebody read Matthew 7, 13, 14. Matthew 7, 13 and 14.
Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to a destruction, and many there be which go and retreat.
Thereat.
In thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Okay. So let's look at these passages. Tell me about the volume of people that go are going to go to hell is composed of those, the volume that's going to go to heaven. What did Jesus say?
Big gate, little gate.
Yeah, but there's more to it. Many are called, but few are chosen.
Big gate, little gate.
Big gate, little gate. Okay, but what's about the volume? Okay, you know, we got a certain amount that go to hell, and we got a certain amount that go to heaven. Okay, so what's the difference?
Big gate, little gate. There's a lot one's more that will go to hell.
A large number, and one's going to be a small number.
Yeah, yeah. There's many that go to hell, and there's few that go to heaven. Now, what does that tell you about following a multitude? If you're following a multitude, what are you probably doing? You're going the wrong direction, okay? Just because somebody else does it. And so it applies in religious things to God, okay? Okay, and it's, you know, we talked about the paths, okay? All of us take different paths, but Jesus said, I am the way. That's singular, okay? And so the road to heaven, we've got heaven, okay? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, okay? So this is the way. But all of us come from different backgrounds, okay? Now, if we want to go to heaven, we have to go this direction. So we might come from this direction because this is the struggles in our life over here, okay? And we may have had these struggles here. And so we've come in from this direction, or maybe this is where our background is and our issues that we've had to face in life. What about this? You know, we've been wealthy and we've had a lot of battles to fight, and so we had to fight covetousness. But the key is, so we've all come from different ways, but then it boils down to Jesus is the way. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Now, the multitude, you know, they want to look at it like this, okay? Well, you know, here, I like this, and so in my opinion, this is the way, or a way, okay? And another person said, "What? No, wait a minute. I want. This is the way I want to do things. So this is my way. Okay. And so you know. And so we've got all kinds of ways. Is that what Jesus said?
No.
Jesus says what?
The way.
What's that found? John 14:6, you're right, John.
Have you heard him say the road's paved with good intentions?
That's not a Bible verse, but I believe it's a Bible principle. Mm-hmm. And isn't that what passages like Matthew 7, 21 through 23 say? Many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and I made done many wonderful works, and I will depart from them. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know? And verse 21 says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And so yeah, I mean, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And the thing is, how do we know which road we're on? Yeah. How do we know?
Well,
Read your Bible and find out, because that's what it tells us. Somebody had John 14:6. I want to hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. No, couple verses down. You're in verse 1. No, you were in...
I am the way.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. There you go. You were right. All right. I am the way. I'm what?
The truth.
The truth and the life.
No, before that.
I am the way.
A way?
The way.
One of many ways?
The only way.
The way. Now, have you ever known that to be plural? The? Mm-hmm. No, it's singular. Okay. I am the truth. How many truths are there?
One.
And so, you know, I say you've got to study the Bible to get faith, and you say it's not necessary. Which one's right?
The Bible.
The Bible's right, because the Bible says you've got to study the Bible to get faith. Okay? Jesus says in John chapter 12 and verse 48, I mean, look at that one. I mean, this is, you know, this shows that the words that he speaks, you know, the New Testament is that, it's Jesus' words, okay? Jesus' words. And somebody read John 12, 48.
He who rejects me and does not receive my word.
Who?
He who rejects me, God.
Who's me?
Jesus.
Prove it.
It's written in red.
Written in red.
Don't prove it to me. Man put the red words there. I got better proof than that.
Verse 44, it says, Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay. So the text says that Jesus said, right? Okay, all right. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Because I got to have more proof than the red words, because I've got a Greek text at home. And it doesn't have red words. Okay. All right. So this is something that I do it to emphasize. Look at the text and look at the context. Okay? Because it's easy to pull the wool over your eyes or mine if we just expect them to swallow what somebody else has said. So read it again. John 12:48.
He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day.
The words which who spoke?
That I.
Who's I?
Jesus.
So whose words are going to judge you on the last day?
Jesus.
So can you know ahead of time what Jesus is going to judge you by on the day of judgment? Yeah, you got the cheat sheet. It's an open book test. And so if you're doing something today and you find out that the cheat sheet says you're not supposed to do it, what are you going to do? Huh? You're going to change. Okay? What if you're not doing something and you find out the cheat sheet says that you're supposed to be doing it? What are you going to do? You're going to do it. Okay? Because it's a cheat sheet. Okay? On the day of judgment, Jesus is going to bring this out. And he says, and this is what it says. And you're going to say, well, I thought it'd be okay to go this way. I don't think anybody's going to say that. I think it's going to be a no-brainer. Well, I have to take that back, because in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, there were people that were arguing with Jesus. And so, I guess... And the problem is, I think there's a lot of sincere people out there. And they are doing their very level best. But I sat down with a man just recently and I said, you know, in the kindest way that I could without getting into his face, I didn't say it the way I wanted to say it. The way I wanted to say it was, you're not doing what the New Testament says. You've not studied it. You have no clue what it says. And you think everything's okay. That's what I wanted to say. But I didn't say it that way. I said it a little differently. And so hopefully that will develop into a study in the future, as with any. But we're out of time. And I will shut up.
You can keep talking on my part.
No, it's your turn.
Sure. Thanks, Roy.